Hi, this is Adam Peacock from My Neighbors Are Dead. For the full month of October, My Neighbors Are Dead is going all in on the Friday the 13th series. And the best part is, we're upping our episodes to twice per week as we talk to all kinds of crazy characters from the world of Camp Crystal Lake, played by tons of amazing guests. Two episodes per week, all month long. Join us for My Neighbors Are Dead on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror, Freddy, Jason, space itself. But who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the terror, the ones who didn't get to tell their tales. And helping me do that this week from the Off Book Podcast, Jess McKenna and Zach Reno. How are you guys?
Hello.
Thank you so much for doing this again.
Oh, our pleasure.
So excited to be back. So excited to do the polar opposite of our last experience, which was one of my...
Last time, one of my favorite movies
of all time that I do feel like I know every word to. This time, never seen...
Never seen it, never will.
Well, let's talk about it, because the movie you're never going to see and you never will is Jason X.
No, thank you, too scary.
It's very scary. You've never seen it, so why are we doing this movie?
Well, we like you.
You said we had to do it.
You're doing a fun theme thing. We like you in this show, and we said we will pick the weirdest one, which is Jason in space.
Oh, you guys are the best.
We call him Space.
We call space him Spacin.
It's a weird. We call that Spacin.
Spacin. So you've never seen it. What do you think this movie's about?
Okay, I did do some Wikipedia-ing of the franchise. I've never seen a single Friday the 13th.
Not one. But let me, and having not Wikipedia'd at all, Jess, would you mind if I start?
I actually insist.
Okay, Jason is not the one with nails for hands.
No, that's Freddy.
Jason is the one with the hockey
ding,
mask.
Ding.
Right.
And maybe also a hockey stick that he kills people with. I don't know what his murder weapon of choice is. Is he sort of, but...
It's more of a machete or anything that's like readily available to him.
Okay, yeah. He uses what we would call in Dungeons & Dragons improvised weapons or anything that's sort of around he will kill you with. Now, Freddy
goes into dreams.
How many classes
till you learn improvised weapons? Is that like 301 or is that like a...
improvised weapons comes up in
okay,
201.
Got it.
It comes right after.
You have to pay
like
way
being comfortable.
I didn't know
space.
If it was an elective. Yeah. I heard it was like an elective that Billy Merritt teaches.
No, you start off just sort of like get yourself comfortable adventuring.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. look at the monsters right. you're fighting. Stand towards the front right. of the battle. Speak right. loudly, and then we get into sort of anything can be a weapon. Open your mind to all the things. That
yes,
could be
and
weapon.
I also yeah. have a shield.
That's right.
It's.
I feel like we're at a corporate yeah, workshop.
Truly. Honestly, it's been a while since I roasted improv, and I had to.
It's so easy to roast.
Okay, sorry. Keep going, Zach. So he's using improvised weapons.
Yes. Freddy goes into dreams. Jason also goes into dreams to kill you in your dreams. I don't know. Is he just like, no, he's not, right?
No, he's like a real
he
guy.
He kills you in the real yes. world.
Yeah, he kills you in the real world.
And when you die in the real world, you die
in your
real.
Dreams. Here's what I know culturally about Friday the 13th and Jason, is that Jason's mm-hmm. actually not in the first one, right?
He shows up at the very,
okay,
very
so
end.
So the killer in the first one, are you ready for this twist, Zach? Okay,
is the
you
mom.
Know it. Yeah. So Jason is the...
That's the one sentence. That sentence came into my brain. It means nothing. I don't know who the mom is. I don't know who she killed or why. I just remember
Jason
hearing
Jason drowned
sometime.
At a summer camp. Crystal Lake. The mother is getting vengeance against the camp counselors who didn't do a good enough job protecting her sweet baby boy. And so she kills, but people are like, it's Jason, but it's actually his mom on a vengeance spree. But then he appears.
But there is a Jason.
Yeah.
Even though he's
yeah.
dead.
Yeah.
But he's right. older now. Did he die as an adult man?
Well, in the saga, he dies like 1,000 different times and gets resurrected in a million crazy ways. None crazier than in Jason X.
Why do we keep bringing back this murderer? This murder.
I don't know if we're doing it. I think it's his supernatural will to live and to kill that is bringing him back.
Mm. But his vengeance is not against water and his inability to breathe in it. It's about the people that.
Zach, he's taking
no responsibility for his death, is what I'm saying.
I think we're covering a lot of topics here. So that's a great point, Zach. Why isn't he mad at water?
Gosh.
If
I drowned to death, my number one thing I'd be mad at would be water. I guess depending on how old I'm in the water.
Maybe he's doing a mandatory swim test and he's like, for real, guys, I'm not a good swimmer. And then I will drown. And then they're too busy smooching because they be teens. And then it's camp and they be teens. And next thing you know, he's drowned. So in that case, I would be more mad at the teens. But yeah, there should be a water component. It seems like, if anything, he often like emerges from the lake. Like maybe he has conquered water.
Now that's good. I like that. That part, if that was just the movie of like a guy coming out of a lake, I'm down. Do you know when he... How old he dies as a baby boy, right?
Well, he's a kid. He's like a preteen. Like he's probably like 11 or 12, I think, when he
because
dies.
Every time I've seen the sort of silhouette of the hockey man with the improvised weapons, it does appear to be a grown man.
Yeah.
He has grown up, yes. He's become a full-grown man
in hell where he goes to hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah, I mean, this is what I know from the Wikipedia page that I consulted nary a 30 minutes ago as I texted Zach.
And honestly, that's thank you for doing this work because I clearly don't and won't.
Yes.
You've raised an interesting point that I'm curious, Jess, where you fall on this as well, too. Personal responsibility in a serial killer's own original demise. Where do we fall on that? Because I've never really thought about it. Like Jason probably, like he's not a 100% victim in all this. He was old enough to know he probably shouldn't be swimming. Where do you guys fall on personal responsibility for supernatural killers?
We love blaming victims and across the board. That's very much our brand. Well, I mean, I wish I knew more about the circumstances, Jess. Sorry.
No, I think you speak for both of us. No.
With that incredibly problematic
victim blaming.
Well, gosh, it does become so tricky because you're like, I feel like you want to have justification, but there's no justification for being a psycho killer. Kiss, kiss, A. You know?
Yeah.
But... they do give them. I know. Right? Like they tell you, they will tell you the motivation between every single.
Because I think the idea of vengeance feels more grounded, and thus we're more afraid because it feels like something that could happen. Like the idea of someone's brain just like snapping with no justification is scarier, one could say, because you're like, oh my gosh, no cause, what the heck? But it feels a little more like that seems rare,
right? Like Hannibal, a movie I also have not seen, famously is just like, you get it because he likes the taste of people so much. So that sort of drives him.
Hannibal, yes.
That he does.
Have you seen Silence of the Lambs?
With the lead character, Hannibal. What is his name?
The movie is Silence. Yeah.
There's a movie Hannibal. Yeah.
The original movie is Silence of the Lambs. So like...
Yeah.
It was just a little funny to be like, you know, like in Hannibal, which was like a series.
I don't mean
to roast you for it.
If you would ask me, gun to my head, what is the name of the movie that Hannibal is from? I'm saying Hannibal to you.
Do you know
100%.
What's crazy?
But you're not
do you know
wrong.
What's crazy about Hannibal, though, Zach? If you've never seen the man Hannibal,
have you seen
Silence of the Lambs? Oh. Mm-mm.
Or Red Dragon? What's the third one?
Red Dragon, the title.
No, you're right.
No, there's a dragon. Yeah.
But Silence of the Lambs, A, is really good. So, Adam, for you and dear listeners, like Zach and I don't like scary movies. We're you know, too scary. We don't.
But that one I would like.
I'm just saying, for me, I have a threshold where like if it is critically seminal or something, I'm like, okay. I take on a few a year to be like, let's at least see the tops of the genre. And
for sure. I'm gonna see Get Out. Like, I love Alien. Like, there are, I don't dislike any movie that
fear.
Has like
yeah.
fear.
So I would say it. Silence of the Lambs is a like very good movie. So you like okay. you should entertain that it's worth it. And here,
it's a it's really like, good movie.
Very, very good. And it'll spoop you.
Everybody's it's across the board. Everybody's spectacular yeah. in it.
So that's just a little pitch for you to, you know.
Hey, I'm gonna write it down.
Zach, having never seen Silence of the Lambs or Jason X, you gun to your head, what movie do you think is better?
It's so hard because space movies are always good. Across, there's never been a bad one. They're all good.
Yeah.
But the other one has one of the lead actors from The Mask of Zorro in it. So... So that's also hard.
Wait, who's in The Mask of Zorro from Silence of the Lambs?
Anthony?
Uh-oh.
Is it Anthony Hopkins? Is he in Zorro? Yeah, Zorro?
He's old Zorro. Dad.
Oh, is he?
Or something. He's like Papa Zorro.
I think so. I don't think he's
I think he's his dad.
Why do I know more about Zorro? I think he's just like, he's passing on the mantle
pretty
of
sure
Zorro
they're dads.
To Puss
I'm
in Boots.
I'm pretty sure they're both each other's dads.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, Zorro Dad is a movie that I would watch. Zorro Dads. Dads of Zorro.
Well, that's an interesting thing because we don't ever really know about Jason's dad in all of this in Friday the 13th.
No,
so what do you
think?
Yeah, what was he up to?
Not teaching his kid to swim.
Whoa, sick burn. It's sort of the inverse of the endearing yourself to a princess in a Disney movie is to make to have a serial killer not have a father. And you're like, that's what it is. Again,
that's all it takes.
I don't have to think too hard about what went wrong here. I know that there were no
possible way.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see where it all fell apart very early on for this young man.
So sad. Not true.
I'm trying to think of villains like real, like what is the Joker's origin story?
Oh, there's several.
How did he get these scars? He famously asks and never tells you the real answer.
I think there are several versions of his origin story.
One is he just like falls in a crazy vat of acid, right?
Well, if we're going with the Alan Moore thing, yeah, he was like a failed stand-up comic who, you know, he turned to crime to make money and then he fell into a vat of acid.
But he's not a serial killer. We're looking for serial killer motivations here. We're talking like...
I don't know that there is a better one than water with Jason.
He's just pissed at water.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fundamental problem with the movie Signs is that the majority of this planet is made up of water and aliens in that movie hate water. So why would they come here?
You had no reconnaissance. You just were like, we're just going to come. You could send signals in cornfields, but you didn't realize that you had water everywhere.
So stressful when you're taking over a planet and you like have to, cause your bosses are like, guys, you got to take this one. And you just haven't had time to do
that. Yeah. I mean, when you can see that steps are being skipped, but you know that like, you don't have the authority.
And you're holding the bat. You're 100%. These signs aliens are being set up to fail. And it's not their fault.
My gosh. It's just like, if only I was higher up on the totem pole, then I could say like, you know, actually.
I'd just be like, guys, pause. Mars.
There's no one.
There's like a drop of water on Mars.
We can easily avoid
this little tiny drop. And mostly it's frozen a lot of times. So we won't even, you know, we can see it and we can say no thank you.
Can you imagine the bargaining power of aliens that have taken over every planet in our solar system except Earth? And then they're just like, hey, actually, you need to send us stuff now because we've got all of them except you. It's like the game Risk. But if you didn't take that last planet, you just asked for stuff from it.
Jess, do you play D&D too?
No.
No. I'm curious, and because I love this, that we've not seen this movie. What do you think the perfect D&D weapon would be to use against Jason Voorhees?
Oh, obviously a squirt gun.
Squirt gun? Yeah, I think, that's a good one.
He does, I mean, like, if we're looking at his stats, he is weakness water, right?
Yeah.
You would think holy weapons because he is undead, question mark. I'm asking. I actually don't know.
It seems like based on Wikipedia, they really play fast and loose with how much they want there to be a supernatural component. They basically just want him to die at every movie at the end, but then not really, so that they can keep making the movie.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. Love it.
So what? So aside from a squirt gun, Zach, what do you have? What weapon or D&D component would you use to fight Jason Voorhees?
I mean, he's gonna go down faster against magic users, right?
You're gonna wanna
engage him in ranged combat, definitely for sure.
Yeah,
because I'm picturing like I'm gonna get tangled, I'm gonna get grappled, he's gonna get all sorts of opportunity attacks while I'm trying to sort of move away.
Yeah,
but if I can just like you know shape water, now there's water all over. That's a bad scene for him. I do worry though that he is a sort of like he's a plot character. Which means that I'm not going to be able to kill him. He's going to escape at the end of the encounter.
Yeah.
The DM is going to be not playing by the rules. He's going
to
be in space.
Is that such a bummer when you're playing to realize that's the case? Where you're like, well, I actually can't conquer this person yet. And you're like, what's this for? Just to build points and experience, right?
I think if the Dungeon Master is good, that will almost never happen. But sometimes what I like about Dungeons & Dragons is that unlike in like a video game where the pace is very set out for you,
yeah,
you're only put up against stuff that you can kill. Sometimes in D&D, you have to sort of gauge for yourself like, oh, I shouldn't be here. There's no way. I need to escape from this. Mm-hmm. This one's about escaping, not about killing.
Mm. That's how I play all video games. I'm just like, get out of the room, get out of the room, get out of the room.
Yeah.
Run.
I mean, that's almost the perfect explanation of all Friday the 13th movies is that it's not about killing. You're just trying to get out of the room unless you're Jason Voorhees.
Jess plays Mario and immediately tries to run left.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Just away. This way is what less
I got mushroom guys coming this way. I gotta go that way.
I gotta go the other way. I gotta get out of this room.
Is this the perfect Friday the 13th movie because he's in space and there's no water in space?
Whoa. Mm. Yes.
Is this where he should have been from day one? He should have been in outer space because there's no fucking water.
I mean, he's figured it out, right? Like it probably took him a while to be like, oh, hold on. I'm in space. I'm safe.
Yeah.
It's a different narrative if you think of this as a series of movies where Jason is just trying to be safe. And trying to be somewhere where water won't trigger him to horrible
and he's just trying
violence.
To get away, and anybody who stands too near water, he has to kill. He doesn't know.
He's too scared.
Yeah.
He's just, it's
and also,
trauma. It's,
just
he's
as
got
someone
trauma.
Who's almost done reading Dune, I'm just like, people are water. You know what I'm saying?
I'm reading Dune,
you
too.
You gotta be reading Dune.
I'm half read Dune.
You have read Dune?
You've read it.
I have read it.
Jess, you're reading it, and I'm 7 pages into it. So
okay.
It's great.
You basically got it.
My gosh. It didn't take me long to be like, this is good, like from an objective place of like, oh boy, yes, I see. And everything that I think, and just remembering when it was written and realizing how many things are copying it, I'm like, oh dang, this is very good. But it took me a very long time to get into the meter of how people speak and names and things.
The constructed fantasy of that world is a little bit it's a little bit of a hill to climb. And then you're there and you're like, oh
yeah,
I see what's up.
There's no water in the desert, so who wins in a fight? A sandworm or a Jason?
Sandworm.
Sandworm.
You sandworm, really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You seen those bad boys?
Yeah, they're huge, but I mean he's got stick-to-itiveness. He's really like he's committed.
Yeah, just sandworm.
Sandworm. I don't know. I don't have any other points beside the sandworm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too far into Dune details since you're so early, but
no, please. I would love it if we could somehow marry the two for Dune and Jason.
You know,
Voorhees.
They are only to be feared or understood, and I don't think Jason has the ability to understand a sandworm. I think he's too myopic.
Holy shit!
And I think he can't do it, and thus he'll fall. He'll fall. Either by the side of a worm or straight into that serpentine.
Into the maw.
Wow, that was a really good, that was fucking awesome. That was really
I told
good.
You, I've finally gotten used to how it's written, so now I can speak like I can speak like Frank.
I just because we kind of touched on it earlier, you know, I was always fascinated when I would see Jeffrey Dahmer's dad in interviews. Sure. I don't know if you've seen those, but they're very sad because, you know, it's still his kid.
Yeah, for
you know?
Sure.
So now we're up to, you know, Jason X. He's been to space. He's been to New York. He's
all the hits.
He's been everywhere.
Space, New York.
Do you think his dad is proud of him on some level?
You know, yes, because I think all that you really want for your child is to have a bigger experience than you had.
Jason, he goes big.
He's really seen more of the human experience.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he is.
Yeah,
proud of
I mean, your son's literally gone to hell and back. You got to be like,
I mean, that's amazing.
You got to be like,
I got questions for that boy.
Yeah. He's there's definitive proof now of an afterlife because of your son.
I mean, that's huge.
Is that one he's fighting his way out of hell? Is he the good guy in that?
I don't think the whole thing takes place in hell. I think that's the construct of the beginning of like where he came from.
He goes to hell at the end of the movie.
Okay, at the end. Great.
Oh, then he escapes.
Which if Freddy takes him down there with the guy with knives for hands.
Oh. So they don't get along.
Well, there is
there's
a Freddy versus Jason.
Okay. Yeah, but there's also like, you know, Bulls versus Clippers, but they could be friends. But it seems like that's not
classic
the
basketball rivalry, Bulls versus Clippers.
Yeah, the Bulls and the Clippers.
I think that's
I don't know
true.
Why those two names. I mean, those are the names that are in my head right now because I just saw someone in a Bulls t-shirt and the Clippers are a Los Angeles team. And they're the one that's in the news lately.
Yeah, why are they in the news? What happened? Because they lost? The Lakers won the championship.
Yes, I know. Yes, that's the joke.
No, Zach, you have to tell us what you know about the Clippers that we don't know.
Yeah, what do you know about the Clippers that you're not telling everybody?
Clippers won basketball, too. There's secret. So there was the NBA, and the NBA had a bubble, and that was good. And then there was also the reckless NBA, which was the secret other NBA league, and the Clippers won that one. But
there's an underground NBA basketball league?
Yes, but it's the opposite of the bubble and everyone has COVID and it's very sad.
I can't believe this would happen under Adam Silver's watch. The most talented.
Oh, he's such a good commissioner.
He's such a good commissioner.
Okay. All right.
Oh, now I know why Kawhi went to the Clippers. I think what I love about this is that it's changed my perspective on the movie is that I've learned that a father's love is insurmountable, and that Freddie and Jason are the Larry Bird and Michael Jordan of horror movies.
I think
they're just keeping each other sharp.
Yeah,
that's right.
They were on the dream team together.
Beatles and Rolling Stones.
Heyo.
God, I wish we had more time because I want to talk about this secret NBA cabal that's happening underneath our noses.
It's really sad. You don't want to get too deep into it.
Oh,
it's reckless in terms of its like society. You know,
but thankfully they're keeping it a secret. Rather than flaunting, I will give them that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because fans would go. So it's nice of them to keep the fans at least away.
So fans aren't allowed to they're staying true. No fans whatsoever.
Yes.
I love basketball. And I love Jason. And I love you guys. You guys are great. I would love to, you please come back and with definitive proof about this secret, awful NBA league that's happening without everybody knowing it. And here in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to come back because we have to take a break because we're going to talk to actually two guards from space who might have a little different aspect on or a different thought on Jason and the whole shebang out in outer space. We're going to talk to Blunson and Smip when we come back. Hey neighbors, Adam and Nate here to talk to you about Patreon. Now, this podcast is possible due to our Patreon patrons, and you can become one by going to patreon.com/mynaborsaredead.
Supporting the show on Patreon's easy. You pay what you can, and in return, you get My Neighbors Are Dead merch, behind the scenes info on how we make the show, a shout out on future episodes, and more.
You may be wondering what we use this money for. Well, we use it for things like production costs, website hosting, traveling for the show, and our monthly meds. We are both severely medicated.
Sad but true. Now, podcasting isn't cheap, and we appreciate any help you can give. If you'd like to see how you can help out the show, go to patreon.com/myneighborsaredead.
Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
Thank you so much for coming by and doing the show.
Sure, yeah.
Our pleasure.
This is great. This is a good break from the old everyday.
Hey, that's me. I'm the everyday.
Every day I stand next to this guy.
Well, let me introduce you. I am talking to two, I guess, security guards. Is that being generous to say?
I
would just use the term guard. That's an adorable, antiquated phrase from 400 years ago that you could even have security. So we're just guarding in sort of a futile gesture because we
to the best of our ability.
Well, Blunson and Smip. Two last names. You were adamant about that guards do not have names. You're two last named people, which I love and I think is great. Thank you for doing this. I can't wait to talk to you. I'm so fascinated with space and space travel and what it's like to be a guard in space. But also I'm also fascinated with the fact that you guys had some tangential encounter with Jason Voorhees.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're diving right into it, huh? Wow. You don't want to ask what Pod, Smip, and I ate for breakfast? Sure. All right. Everyone wants to know about Jason.
It was a fiber pod.
It was a fiber pod for those of you who are wondering, who want to just ask us anything except for, okay, yes. I mean, it's a Tuesday. We intercept.
Before we jump into that, does it help to stay regular in space? I don't mean to be crass or rude. I'm legitimately fascinated.
Oh yeah, it's a necessity. Yeah.
Got to, because there's no water out.
And also, everything is calibrated to a precise weight, so you know everything needs to be calories in, calories out. And if your fiber is not helping that along, then well, you're taking up too much room.
Well.
It's so fascinating. I think there's so many rules and regulations to be in space and to certainly be a guard in space too. I can't imagine that's got to be a whole different level of stress for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, you got to sort of, you say kind of goodbye to anything that you had going on beforehand. It's a sort of a full-time gig. Mm-hmm. So it helps if you don't have too much else going on in your sort of day-to-day.
Yeah, you have to turn away from that past life. Okay, Adam, that would have been your chance to say, well, what about your past life?
What are you running from, Jason? Talk about Jason.
No. Yeah, that's sure. You know what? You're right. I'm being rude. I it's not fair to not know more about you guys. So
it's a fascinating story of where we both came from, because in a way we're both on the run from our own personal demons.
Well, let's talk about that. What was your life prior to going aboard the Grendel, being guards? What demons were you running away from?
Well, I inherited back on Terra. I inherited that my family for generations and generations had.
Hey,
made
Smip, are you ready to talk about this, man? Are you okay? Are you sure?
No, it's okay. I got it. Thank you, but I appreciate. I might tap out at some point, and if I do, you pick it up. Okay, thanks. So I inherited a little joint called Hot Manaldo's, which was my family has run it for a long time.
Hot Manaldo's.
Hot Manaldo's, and we make. Well, I don't know. What year are you from?
I'm from 2020.
Okay, so you have the cow. What would I call it? The cow liquid, and it sort of curdles, and you put it with the red fruit on the bread circle.
Oh, you're talking about milk.
Yeah, that's one of the components.
Okay,
you curdle that, and you put it on the bread circle with the red.
Hot Manaldo's served toast and jam on savory bread, and it was everyone's favorite place to go on Terra. But when
I'm curious if you know that it's toast and jam on circle bread, Smip, why the long
no,
walk?
No. I'm sorry, Adam. I know that because I'm from a different planet. Oh, that's what I'm just helping you out.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, no I'm problem. So sorry.
Smip, you talk about curdled cow liquid with red fruit on circle bread as much as you need, man. I'm giving you this space and this room.
Please, yes.
Now, some people would think that what I'm describing is pizza, but it's not. It's toast and jam on circle bread. Let's be clear about that. Is what my family made was that. And that was sort of what my family did. And then at one point, the city inspector came and said, this place isn't up to code. And we were like, can we fix it? And they said, you could, but it's a foundational issue. So you're going to have to sort of, like, it's gonna cost more to fix the foundation than it would to knock the whole thing down. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, to hell with this. I'll go be a garden space.
And I have a completely different story, Adam.
So different. So different.
Please.
Hey, you ready to talk about this
I
right
think
now?
So. Thank you, though. But I might ask you to tap in. Thank
I'm here
you so
if
much.
You need me. Absolutely.
So I was on the planet Tarifa, and my family for generations and generations ran a small outpost called Crispy Cows. And what year are you from?
2020.
Right, okay, so you know that liquid that comes, well, it can come from any sort of mammal and it's to feed its young, but most sure. often from a cow. So we would use curdled cow milk.
Milk.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, milk.
We would use curdled milk and the juice from a different red fruit and serve it on circle bread.
So this is completely different than hot
this is
melon.
This is watermelon fed That's right. on pita is what Blunson's family sort of watermelon fed
That's
on
right.
pita.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like a bright sort of, well, the salt from the feta can sort of takes the juices out of the watermelon if you let them commingle for long enough, and it's going to mm-hmm. reduce that down to a more potent watermelon flavor, very refreshing. And then, of course, everyone's favorite circle yeah. bread, pita.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I like about talking to people on this show is that I get to experience their passions and the things that they're like excited about. But and I like this from both of you. Do you think you both missed the mark on just not making pizza?
What's that?
Hmm?
Oh! This is like cute. This is cute. Oh no!
I'm
no! No!
Smith,
no! Not at all. This is fun. This is a classic. Just ships in the night. We have different cultural references separated by 400 years. Smith, this is hilarious.
See, pizza. In our time, you would just never.
For one, you're operating under
a
centuries reversed idea that tomatoes are fruit. Everyone knows now that tomatoes
is that different
oh,
in the future?
Oh yeah, they're their own category. Mm-hmm.
They're of the genus tomato.
Wow,
tomato
species yeah. tomato. Now we had to add species after the sort of long intergalactic conflict with the sentient tomatoes,
uh-huh.
which I'm sure you're probably leading up to.
Yeah, you're probably going to.
Next two,
you won't see it.
What was that? 23, 32.
Two.
Jesus, that's like right around the corner.
I mean, in the sort of
eternal
metric. Yeah, it's pretty quick. Anyway, you want to tell them about the foundational problems that your family restaurant had?
We just didn't realize that we were on such a high silt content. We just thought it was a standard layer of silt, but sooner or later, structural beams of integrity were just sinking right down into the muck.
How familiar are you with Tarifa?
Me or
the
I'm
planet?
Not familiar with
the
it
planet.
At all. Oh,
the
I'm planet. Not familiar with it at all. I feel a very uneducated about it.
No,
moves a lot. A lot of tectonic activity.
Yeah,
really?
Basically, all of the land is just ice skating all the time. Which is great,
by the way. You should
beautiful.
Check it out.
I would love to go
just
there.
Just imagine like several leagues down, it's all frozen water before it gets to a hot core. And so everything just sort of skates around all the time. It's pretty fun. It's honestly fun.
So structural foundation problems for both of your family restaurants is what caused, not is the catalyst to get you to space. Is that the natural progression? Is that the thing to do next? Because like I know, like I hear in 2020, I know some people who were like, "Oh, I'm having a tough time. I'll join the army." Is that sort of what it was like for you guys?
It's similar. I mean, the guard. I would say guard is sort of like the in between of flight attendant and army. You know, it's kind of about seeing the world, coasting about galaxies, taking another planet.
There's always there's some of the sort of implied danger of the armed forces, but less of a guarantee that you will be put in harm's way.
Honestly, one of my first duties was just guarding guarding the dessert hold because
people raid that.
People will raid calories in, calories out. Everything's is very particular in space, so you can't have people going for late night pudding grabs.
Especially,
do you know what pudding is?
Have you had pudding?
Oh, I love pudding.
It's a big, long. It's crispy and it's long, and it's got cinnamon sugar on it, and it's sort of in a big, long twist. I love a big hot pudding.
This might just be a cultural thing. I think maybe it's a little different for me than it is for you.
Oh, what's pudding for you?
It comes in a cup with like a little plastic or paper top that you pull off and you eat it with
yogurt.
Fruit on the bottom, yogurt.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's kind of like that. I would be remiss if I didn't tell you about Chobani yogurt. Chobani yogurt is some of the finest yogurt I've ever had.
Is that the one Stamos likes?
No, I think he likes Oikos.
Stamos.
Is he a thing where you're from?
Stamos.
Oh my God.
Stamos.
Whoa, is he your god? What is he like?
A god.
How many gods do you have 12. Where you're from?
Ugh. Yeah. Full score.
And Stamos is just one of the 12 gods.
Stamos.
Stamos.
I need to bone up on my research about John Stamos because he is kind of a god where I'm from too.
To be fair,
John Stamos.
Yeah, he's the singer, actor.
Yeah, that's the same guy.
He's sort of.
This was the big. That's like you're right in his era, actually, where they begin to realize his immortality. You know, he's right in that zone where people are like, boy, oh boy, he's aging well.
You are right. Yeah, pre-ascension. It's fun. Yeah.
Where do you stand on his Beach Boys run? Is that a big thing in terms of the deity aspect of him?
Doesn't get that much attention. I'd say more the one song he sings on his wedding episode of Full House gets a little more play in terms of the hymns and the rituals and the feast of Stamos, where we have Greek yogurt and spanakopita. Do you know what spanakopita is?
I do. It's a lovely Greek food.
Ah, yes. Mm-hmm. It's where you have several pieces of crispy, similar to pita bread, but different, and you cover them in liquid cheese, sometimes jalapenos, sometimes tomatoes, which are a genus of their own, maybe a soured cream.
Maybe there's beans.
Sometimes there are beans.
There's a layer of beans.
This all sounds great. I would love to sample that and also treat you, you know, next time we're together, to a delicious cup of Chobani yogurt.
Would love to have it.
Chobani yogurt. Get it while supplies last. So your guards on this ship, the Grendel, your guarding late night snack buffets. Are you prepared to face the situation? I guess of Jason Voorhees on your ship. What does that do to you? What's your mind frame like, knowing that you're going to get this guy? And you know, does it change how you do things?
Here's the thing. I mean, you never know. You never know if you're prepared until it happens, right?
Right.
Like you can practice all you want, but I'll tell you, when someone's making that pudding raid, that's when you find out if you were prepared for a pudding raid.
Not before. You know, not before.
That separates the kids from the adults.
Yeah, and I would say there's a lot of decks on this ship, and so far I'm not even we're not close enough on a deck where I even can really even hear screams. So I'm kind of hoping it just resolves itself.
Yeah, it seems like it might be bad. We've sort of lost communication with the deck where Jason is. Yeah. So you asked us about our experience with him. So when we were first assigned post here, we got the whole tour of the Grendel, right? They were like, this is the room where Jason is, and he'll never get out. And then we all laughed a lot and pounded on the door.
Some of us opened the door, walked right by his inanimate corpse, did fun dances.
Pushed our faces in,
yeah.
Pointed at him and said, you'll never get out of here.
We're not going
to... It's like where I'm from. Yeah, where I'm from in 2020, we do that to animals at the
yeah.
zoo.
Yeah. Oh, you have... Oh, my gosh. You are... tomato on your face about those. You guys are really going to live to regret
those.
Hold on.
Remember, this was back when we didn't... This was back...
Before animals had nanobots.
This was back... Yeah. This was... Yes.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of catching up to do.
My cousin's
first,
a tiger.
The first time... Mm-hmm. The first time... And I'll tell you this because I've read my history books and I remember how this began. The first time, friend, if you see a gazelle and it looks at you and it says... How are you doing? You make friends with that gazelle now. It's going to save you a lot of trouble.
Smip is always bragging about how his family has tangible books.
Blunt, mm-hmm. your family
of course
does not have
not.
Tangible books.
No, oh, they're, gosh, so, no, they're rare. So rare.
I mean, we have three.
You have three tangible books.
Mm-hmm. He won't even let me read Ulysses, which is one of them. And I'm like, I'm finally going to do it. I'm finally going to read Ulysses.
Mm-mm. Blunson, I think you can skip that one.
You sure?
Yeah, you're not missing much.
I have three books, all of which everyone loves to read.
Ulysses, what are those two?
I have Ulysses, I have Infinite Jest, and I have Hop on Pop. And I haven't opened that one because I'm worried about it.
What will they do to Pop?
Well, it's so first of all, there are aliens on it, and I worry that it's cursed somehow. Secondly, it's so much... I think that the pages of it are sentient and escaping, because it's so much smaller than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What I know of a book to be is thick and small and square. This one is flat and wide, like it's trying to bust out of its confines.
I think you're going to like that one the best, though, between...
You've read it?
I've read it, yeah. I've not read Infinite Jest or Ulysses. I think you're going to like Hop on Pop the
Adam,
best.
Adam, should you tell the people you've never read Infinite Jest or Ulysses? Should you admit that?
You know what? I'm going to go... You're right. I shouldn't. I have read both of those, or I'm going to read them.
Yeah, yeah. You're working on it. I'm getting in there.
Where I'm from, there's so many books. You know, it's hard to keep track.
Well. Look who's done well.
Ho, Harry, ho. I see many books on his shelf behind him, Smith.
Oh.
I have ho, several
Harry,
books,
yeah. ho. A whole shelf for books?
Yeah, I have several Tra-la-loo. Shelves. It is in no way indicative of my wealth or status as a person, how many books
Ho, Harry, ho. Don't be modest with us. Oh, he sounds like one of the other famous gods. Henry Witt.
Yeah, you have 12 of them. We've named John Stamos. What are some
Henry
of the other
Winkler,
famous gods you guys?
Glenn Close.
Google. Glenn Close.
Google is a god. Where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Henry Winkler's great. I've been to Milwaukee. If you haven't been, you should go. It's a delight.
There's a messenger bag.
Louis Armstrong.
And...
messenger bag. Google.
Glenn Close, Henry Winkler, John Stamos,
Messenger Highlighter.
The feeling of getting into a hot tub after being in a pool.
Oh, that's so great. I love
that
one.
Yeah, that one's my patron god.
Do you have different holidays for all 12 gods, or do you celebrate them all in one day?
There are feast days for each 12, and then there are holidays that incorporate several of them. You know, like the holiday of the picture, which is like anyone who's ever been in a picture. The holiday, and then there's like Arbor Day, desk day.
Anyone who's been on a desk. That's big in messenger bag and highlighter are both part of desk.
The feeling of getting into a hot tub after being in a pool does have its own holiday where we do that for at least 4 hours and you get pretty pruny.
Oh, you have that experience for four hours.
Yeah, in, out. Which reminds me of something.
I think your holidays are way better.
Which reminds me of something very funny, Adam.
Please tell.
Adam, buckle up.
This is very funny. So, you know, Oh, shoot. The screams are getting slightly louder.
That's okay. We'll go down a deck. Hold on. We're going to get in the lift real quick.
Sure. Yeah. Take your time.
Subfloor 3.
Subfloor 3.
We were on subfloor 2. The higher you get, we're pretty sure that whatever is happening is spreading. We're just sort of avoiding it. We're not prepared to deal with whatever.
You're
going
doing
on up
your
there.
Job. Don't sell yourself short. You're doing exactly what you should
be. You will wait till it's like right in front of us, and until then, we will flee as much as possible.
Do you want to go towards the pods?
Do I want to go towards the pods?
Do you want to sort of start being towards the escape pods, or is it too soon?
I'm interested in that, but we will have to do a cross because this one won't go to sub four.
That's it's sort of we'll like have to go across the hallway back.
That's
up on
right.
Sub
it's sort of
one.
Like Manhattan subway trains where there's not that many that
have
go
you
east
had
west.
This? You have to. Sometimes you're in a lot. You're in like an elevator bay, but on one side of the wall, the elevators go to all of the floors. But on the other side of the wall, they go to.
Have you had
floors,
that?
Which on a spaceship is very confusing because the sort of like relative directionalism is tricky on in a ship that
it's
is an
sometimes
orb.
Helpful because some people are always trying to get to like deck 7 or like the holodeck or the pool deck, and it's like.
Which sure. I get it because deck 7's got. All the sexy
yes, and the
it.
Dart room, and
the dart room.
This sounds like a nightlife aspect.
Oh well, sure.
Shit. Sexy robots and darts.
Have you played darts?
I love darts.
I love that. There's no time limit on darts. The game takes as long as it takes.
It's like chess.
9 people all on the dart field, just
wrestling it out in the scrum.
A Terran tradition. Wrestling it out in the scrum, kicking field goals, slamming dunks from behind the paint.
Getting your bocce ball as close to the white cue as possible.
And throwing the Polino at your nearest ally, hoping he catches it.
I can't wait for the future because your darts sound like a combination of several things where I'm from.
Screaming badminton into the air at the top of your lungs.
This sounds great. I can't wait
yes,
for the
if
future.
If you can survive the attack of the killer tomatoes in 2332, you'll be in great shape.
I'm sorry. Survive the attack of the killer tomatoes.
Are you praying to them right now? Sorry. Do we need some time?
Yes. Sorry. That's yes,
sorry. They're also a god.
Please. Yes.
I was going to tell you that very funny thing from earlier. The very funny thing from earlier.
Yes.
Is that sometimes, we refer to the ship that we're on, the Grendel, as the Grundle.
That is very funny.
You're laughing. I see that they got to the end of the story. Yeah. Tell you the Grundle thing.
Oh, it's so good. I wanted to say it, but I didn't want to be immature, but I'm so glad that you do it.
It's very fun, especially if you come out of a cycling class and you're like, boy, that really got me in the Grundle. And you're like the ship that we all live on? Ha 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 ha. Ooh, Stamos. That's what I say when something good happens. Stamos.
I have learned so much here today with you. John, hail Stamos. Hail messenger bag. Hail Louis
Armstrong.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, whatever fits for your purpose and need in that moment.
If you get off this ship, if you get off the Grendel with what's transpiring right now, what's the future look like for you?
Thank you.
You don't want to leave.
I mean, have you seen home?
It's I've seen it now, and it's not great. I can only imagine it's going
to
get worse.
Terra's a troubling planet. I'd go back to Terrafina because I love that skate land, but
Terrafina.
You should come to Terrafina with Terra's me, Snip.
Oh, I would love that. Is that where your
the tiger?
Cousin lives?
Mm-hmm. Do you want her number?
Mm-hmm.
Just don't be cool.
Oh, please take it, take it.
Too weird. I don't want to make things weird. I mean, yes. Let me say yes. I do. I just don't want to make
weird.
Things weird for
her
you.
Her number's 4.
Thank you.
Oh my God, this is so great. I love that you're getting together. This is so great. This is so nice. It's so romantic. I can't wait to see what's going to happen with you and the tiger.
Sorry, we have to go down another floor. Something very bad and very loud just happened right above us.
Oh, great. Yeah, please take your time.
Do you know anything about this,
Jason? Do you have any tips,
fellow?
I think you're doing the right thing by staying away. I think you're doing the best you can. Just stay out of it.
The floor that he's on has a lot of decorative swords, which should be fine.
They're only decorative.
I think so.
It would take quite a shoulder strength to wield them as a true weapon.
You'd need to be real big and strong.
I think now that, it might be different now that there's the potential for you and Bloods' cousin to get together, but I think you should stick to the floor with the sexy robots and the darts.
Well, that's
we'll
that's
have to
seven.
Pass the floor that he's on to get there. Because this elevator bank won't go straight to seven.
We could across the hall. We're trying to go across the hall.
Okay, Thomas is dipping into seven real quick. I gotta tell you.
Well, I'll let you get back to it. It sounds like you got a whole night planned, and I don't want to be in the way of that. Smip, I can't wait to hear how this is going to go with Once's cousin. I think you guys are doing the Lord's work. You're doing great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Cross your fingers, cross your claws. Yeah.
Hail Stamos. Eat Chobani yogurt. And Hot Manaldos. I think we could probably get a campaign going to get that thing back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was knocked to the ground.
You know, maybe again, we need to relaunch some sort of crossover. Do you think people would want circle bread toast and jam and watermelon feta on pita at the same establishment?
There's a Taco Bell Pizza Hut, so yeah, I think so.
I've heard there was a time where establishments served multiple things. Feels confusing and overwhelming to me, but I mean...
Crazier things.
Oh, that's the red alarm. We really do have to go now.
Okay, Blunson and Smith, the future is bright. Thank you so much for coming by. Please check back with us when you're all good and safe.
And a many happy returns of your hot tub to pool.
Thank you so much for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I've been your host, Adam Peacock. The show is produced by myself with Nate DeFort and edited by Nate DeFort. Original music was done by Jesse Case, along with Dane Halverson, and our original artwork was done by Mark Nishan. A big thank you to Jess McKenna and Zach Greeno for coming by and playing Blunson and Smip. You can check out Jess and Zach as a host of the Off Book podcast on Earwolf Network. Get them wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the show and you want to support us, please like and subscribe. And if you'd like to donate to the show, you can find us on patreon.com at My Neighbors Are Dead. Follow us on Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Again, thank you so much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next week.
Imagine a podcast. Now, imagine a musical. Now, imagine the two of them made 1 million babies. Well, you don't have to imagine it, because it's real, and it has a name. 1 million musicals. Each month, we bring you a brand new, original podcast musical featuring talent from across Broadway, films, and TV. You'll hear tales of spooky ghosts, Wild West shootouts, adventures on the high seas, and much, much more. 1 million musicals. Only a few hundred thousand to go.
A Campfire Media Podcast.
Campfire.